After a long day of being pulled in every direction, the last thing anyone wants to think about is, what's for dinner? That's where Schwan's can help, with a variety of real food choices, frozen to lock in freshness. From ready-made meals, premium meats and side dishes, to vegetables, ice cream, and more. Schwan's foods go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours, so you can pull off a delicious meal in no time at all. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. To help simplify mealtime, visit Schwan's.com.
Want to rise above what holds you back? These are the stories of those fighting that battle. It might also be the story of you. I'm Dan Waldschmidt, author of Edgy Conversations and strategist of billion-dollar companies all over the world. This is Mark Menard, author of The Story of You, the guy who knows a thing or two about never giving up. You're listening to Elevating Beyond. Let's get started.
It's real.
I'm just going to finish the show. That was awesome. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Elevating Beyond with a two-word mission statement, change lives. And all of you don't know it, but I'm back here for our second show with Zag, which I'll explain in a minute. The first one we recorded yesterday, he did such a terrible interview. I had to erase it. No, I'm just joking. The genius that I am didn't hit the record button correctly, and this amazing studio on the camera literally is why we didn't get the show yesterday. So all of you seeing this fancy studio and all that know that we always are still screwing up and learning. That's why I've checked it 3 times today. Zag was awesome enough to be able to come back out here after speaking at OSU. And this has been great. Like, the conversations that we've been having, Zag's only, first you're going to tell the right way to say your name, so don't screw it up again.
It's Zagris Quarizada. Middle school was tough. Quarizada. I've never lost a spelling bee, if that helps.
I need one of those things, with every guest that hung up that has like the Quarizada. Like, for stupid people
break
like me
down.
That
you're not
hooked
alone.
On phonics type things. Or what. But, we met, Zag lives on my street. Well, he doesn't anymore. When his parents were moving out, actually, is when we met. Mm. We moved here a couple of years ago. And the more I got talking to Zag, I realized you just recently graduated from OSU.
I did, yes.
But I kept seeing how he was, like, asking a lot of questions about stuff. I think something came up, like, we hadn't met as Nate. I was telling you I have a podcast studio here, and you're like, what? You have a... And I mentioned something about, like, oh, yeah, I'm doing a show with... I didn't think he'd even... I'm like, I'm doing a show with Eric Thomas next week. And you're like, what? Eric Thomas?
Yeah.
I love Eric Thomas. And right away, I'm like, okay, this is a cool person. Mm. Because phenomenal, tracks phenomenal, and people that... are into people like Eric Thomas. I know a lot of you watching this have watched that 3-part show with him that we did, and his amazing mom. You better have if you didn't go back. But I knew if you were into that, you're the type that likes to challenge yourself and grow. And we got to talking more, ended up giving you my book and stuff, which you still owe me money for. I'm just joking. And was cool is, a big part of the show, and I did a post like on Instagram and Facebook and all that fun stuff, Twitter, whatever. If I left your social media thing out, don't send me a thing. Don't worry, it's everywhere. But a lot of you responded, like 20 different messages, and I loved your responses. I said, is it really worth it in this day and age to have a college degree? And there's levels to this answer. And I thought it was so great, like, first of all, talking about this with Zag, who just recently graduated from OSU. And I don't want to glaze over stuff too fast, too, because I know yesterday from the show that I deleted, we were talking, too, about, I like people to know, like, this street that we live on, where we met, where you were raised a lot of your life, that I share with a lot of you, like... I don't do the stupid Instagram pictures and all that of my house, but I was in jail at age 17 and overcame a lot. And 18 years later, overnight success, we always say it. But you know, like the average home on the street is like $1 million.
That's right.
And mostly doctors, lawyers, CEO of Bob Evans, which we'll have on the show.
Yeah. Yes.
But I'm just trying to give all of you a perspective because I think it's interesting you being raised in this a lot of your life, like here by the country club, like one of the nicest areas in Ohio. And I'm not saying this to brag or anything, obviously, like I'm just really painting a picture to show all different walks that people come from, because Zag has like this learning and growth mindset from everything I've seen from you versus I think what a lot of people would stereotypically think is millennials or Gen, what is it, X,
Gen
Y,
Z,
G,
Y,
K,
yeah,
whatever that crap is. And also growing up in like a rich neighborhood, people will be like, oh, that's hopeless, that kid's gonna be an entitled. But you're not. I mean, you're a screw up. And gosh, yeah. Stupid. But no, he's really not. Like, he has this hungry learning mindset.
It's, I think it has to do a lot with really kind of like your upbringing. So we kind of touched on it, but I remember like within my own friend group, I was the only person that cut their own grass and like shoveled the driveway when it snowed. And that type of, a lot of that was mostly because of my father and mother, really the upbringing I had. It never was, we live in a great neighborhood, but it never was without labor, without work. And I think from a very early age, it became apparent to me that I was going to be, work was going to be part of my life. And that's really kind of extended into my adult life as well.
Well, also, and yesterday's show got deleted, so anything we repeat is going to be brand new.
Yeah.
Your dad being from a different, and mom being from a different country. I know from my wife being from a different, from Sierra Leone, West Africa, had a lot of values and like a different mindset on work ethic and stuff. Although my parents put that into me really well too. And I think as a kid, you could have been like, oh, it's a pain in the butt, I have to mow the grass and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But along with that, like your dad, well, let's let them know, like, and I'm gonna, and also if you guys see me on the phone, I'm not texting or something while Zag's talking and being that person. You all know me. I'm getting on here and pulling up some of your awesome responses from Instagram and doing some other things. But like, explain to everyone listening too, like help paint the picture so they can really see where your parents grew up, because they only know that crap from the news.
Yeah, so with my parents grew up from in Iran. My dad came here in 1979 and went to Fresno University in California, and then came to Ohio State and studied his master's degree and started a business.
But what was it like where he grew up in,
yeah,
in Iran?
My father grew up on the border of Iran and Iraq. In a town where it's kind of like comparable to like a rural area here, but he had 16 brothers and sisters, which is crazy to think about. And it's because a lot of those people are expected to, you know, be raised and grow up and work on the farm and whatnot. My father, of those 16, 11 lived to adulthood. They lived through war. They lived through a lot of different situations. And they went to, of the 11 that really reached adulthood, they became doctors and lawyers, and they're across Europe, and they're world-renowned German dermatologists with dual medical degrees, and that's kind of the motif in my dad's family, and I find that really inspiring, and that kind of, I think about that often. Like, my mother grew up in a town where during war it was bombed, and that's crazy to think about, and so that type of concept, you know, it's seems like a different life, like a different world, but being in the city that I live in and living in the life I grew up in, it's hard to forget that when you live with those two people that have not only survived but thrived and now live in such an amazing area.
Not only survived, but, and everyone that's jumping on here on the live stream too, from Instagram and everything, what's up? Keep the questions coming. We're here live in the Elevating Beyond studio with my man, Zag. I'll still butcher his last name. But I'm writing this here live in the Elevating Beyond, I have to say it out loud so I don't screw it up, studio. And I will keep that in the show. But I love that, not only survive but thrive, because that's literally like the every guest that I've had on the show that's been from every different socioeconomical background, raised whether either in the U.S. or other countries, or it's been so, that's what's been in common is they went through this adversity and they figured out a way they made a decision to thrive. And I think that's like, and we're always going to be the best versions of ourselves, but that's what your parents did in ways, but they passed it on to you. Like, I imagine you were telling me yesterday, and they don't know, but your dad had like a harder from like his grandpa.
Yeah,
like, what was different of that than you?
My relationship with my father now is very tight. It's a friendship, really. It's first a friendship in my mind before I view him as like my father. And that's really nice. I love that so much. But my father's relationship with his father, so my grandfather, was not that. My grandfather was a much sterner, stricter, I mean, really like slap you on the head if you're not studying. And he wouldn't value education, for example. And it's crazy to think about that this man didn't value education, but my grandmother was the one that was
pushing
for it.
But he was like a farmer and stuff, right?
He was.
And they lived on the border?
They lived on the border of Iran and Iraq. And
so you got to look at his upbringing, like education, he might not have even...
My dad was telling me that like, for him, it was like you either leave and go to school in a university or you become a farmer. And of the 11 brothers and sisters that he has alive now, all of them went off to get to really high-end master's and PhD programs. And
that's interesting.
It's an adapt or die mentality, really. I mean, at the end of the day, that's really what it is.
But what do you think made them not follow that, like, okay, I'm going to continue the farm or here... that got them, because they didn't adapt or die. It sounds like they all thrived. You think that came from a combination of your grandma, or maybe it was like, do you think it's, I'm just asking, but like, do you think it's seen, oh, my brother did it.
Yeah.
I can do it. Like, there is other options. Like, your grandpa might not have known. Maybe he didn't see there was other options, and them starting to see.
Yeah, I think it's two, there's two answers to that, right? So the first one is, when you're in an environment where, during the Iran-Iraq war, my house got a bomb exploded near my house. Or, like, you're with a family and you realize, like, oh, like, this is not a great neighborhood we're in. It's really easy to be like, I have two options. Either stay in this environment or improve and get better and leave. And so with my father's family, 11 brothers and sisters, they did a great job of kind of sending almost like my father... my aunt for in Europe, my father in California, who would go to get college degrees, make some money, send some money back home so the next generation of kids would come along and go to college. So the age range of my father's family is quite big.
Yeah.
The older kids would send money so the younger kids would go. So this whole concept of family was huge in my father's family. I use that example, but the same could be said about my mother's family as well.
But what's interesting, everyone that's been jumping on live, thank you very much. We're going to continue to watch the rest of the show on Elevating Beyond. We're going to get way more into the story of what Zag's doing with his companies and is college really worth it and so much more. So stay tuned and you'll be able to watch the whole show. Okay. So I can focus better on you too.
Yeah.
With that... I just totally had an ADD brain lust thing. With them seeing that, though, with the families being collective, I've also seen it to where sometimes it's like, they're saying, like, it takes a tribe to raise a child.
Yeah.
But I also say, like, it takes the child to leave the village to become a man and then come back to it. Because it's almost like if you stay within... quote Mark Menard. No. It's almost if you stay, it's like if I've seen people stay within that tribe or village and your perspective is like the umbrella of your understanding. So it's like you only know what you know.
Yeah.
So if you stay there, if someone says this tree is blue and it's green and you only are taught that green is blue, your whole life you're thinking it's blue. And it takes like leaving there to get that other comprehension of people teaching you, wow, there's other things. And then you can go back and make changes and stuff. And so, but in that sense, I've seen people like in some situations held down, even like the guy Pierre that was on my show who was in the gangs and dealing drugs at age 9. It was like they either stayed in that tribe or wherever, or someone like him finally made a choice, like, I gotta get out of here.
Right. I think that it comes back to the fact with like your upbringing and your environment are so important, because if your upbringing is in these really rough, bad situations, then that's all you know. And that's all you think life is about. And that's all that you're aware of. For me, like, it was just kind of like, like working hard was part of my, we talk about like complacency and like being really comfortable. I think comfort is kind of sometimes, a lot of the times, is the enemy. Because if you're really comfortable and you're really living like a relaxed life, then sometimes you forget that like, oh, you need to be working really hard or something bad could happen. Or like, we talk about like,
you mentioned yesterday that sale. So what separates you, and I'm going to get up in the middle of the show because we got the clock here, and of course the screensaver came on, but we'll keep this in.
Yeah.
I know you can't see me on camera right now, but we're rolling. You were saying too, because something that separates you, at that young age, like a sophomore in high school, you were telling me, and people watching this or listening to this, the school's here. Dude, like, I visited here, I remember, and drove by. We were doing tile in these houses with my brother back in the day. And I remember driving by the school and him being like, that's the New Albany High School. I'm like, no, it's not. That's a private college campus. It has the pillars.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, that is not a high school. He's like, that's their...
Yeah.
He's like, the property taxes are like half your mortgage, literally. But painting them a picture of what the schools are like and where these kids are coming from. And so for you choosing, having this mentality as a sophomore, where a lot of these people, like, I'm seeing it, they're having to push to get their driver's license and not do it like 18. Like, you challenge yourself to be, tell the story, a salesman.
Yeah, so I, where we grew up, like, when I went to high school, like someone having like a nanny or like a butler or like having multiple homes, it was very common. Like, it's not an alien concept. So I knew that like as a young age that this was a bubble. Like, this is like very much like a beautiful place I live, but this is not what 99.999% of the world looks like. This is not what of America looks like. And so this is like an amazing place to live, but I need to understand like there's more to it. So my sophomore year of college, I remember I called my dad.
Oh, it was college.
It was college. Yeah, it was college.
Edit that out to make it so that I was right.
I actually went through like a pretty interesting, like, I don't know. That was kind of like the year I would consider like I became a man in the sense of, I remember I'd gone to biomedical engineering for my freshman year and I hated it. I like did not relate to any of my classmates at all. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, like I don't want to do this. And I was on academic probation. I had a 2.1 GPA.
And that had to be hard.
Yeah, I didn't like it. And I remember coming home and my family having worked so hard, talking about like their upbringing. I remember them talking to me and being like, listen, guy, come on. Like, what are you doing?
That's interesting, though. I know you're going to get more to see, but like, I'm thinking that's such a great takeaway, because so many people could think of that as, oh, they should have just been, it's okay, you didn't. And I know they gave you the love, but the fact that, again, I always look at like that adversity, if it helps you change your mind, and they're able to be like, look, if that's your biggest problem, they're like, you don't really have a problem. They're like,
yeah, we talk about
that's not, they're like, you got, basically they're like, dude, you got so much freaking opportunity.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my wife had to walk miles for water. Is you wouldn't think that now and stuff, but like, that's why they're like, dude. And so then
I just like, I know what you mean. Like, in a sense, like when you gave that example of like, the man has to leave the village, and like you talk about these like rites of passage where the man leaves the village and he comes back with like wearing a lion's carcass or a bear, you know. But if what if he comes back with nothing? It's like he should have shame because he didn't get anything. You know what I mean?
So he should have shame.
Shame should be had because he didn't do good.
And isn't that part of the problem with some people? Like I always say, don't dwell and don't beat yourself down, but also you should. Wanted you, like you see Michael Jordan back there crying when he loses a game, but then he gets back up and goes, the thing is, don't let it keep you down, but you should care enough about
it,
like
you
want to do better, like after jail and all that. My dad, I was like, I've got to do better. I can do better. I'm not going to come back till I've got that lion.
For me, like in that moment,
you know what
in my
I mean?
Life, I know exactly what you're talking about. For me, it was
I
like,
I use this sword to kill. No,
for me, it was kind of like, I knew I wasn't that person that I was. Like, I knew I was smart. I knew I shouldn't be on academic probation. I knew that like where I was headed in my life, I'm like, I don't, like, there's so many questions I knew that wasn't me. And it really, really like was a low point in my life. And I look back on it now being like, wow, like that was the moment where I kind of figured it out. And I'm sure you can relate.
Yeah.
With the example of like when you were 17, just like that moment, you're like, this is not me. This is not who I am as a person. It's not who I want to be. But that year I called my dad and was like, hey, I want to be financially independent from you guys. Cause I feel like that'd take a pressure off me and them.
So they were, just so everyone's getting this clear, they were offering to pay for your school.
Yeah. My parents were telling me like, move back into with us, like come.
So they
live
were taking the loans
They were taking the loans on for my first year. They were paying school, like that was okay. But then after that, I was like, look, you guys paid for my first year. I did an absolute terrible job. I can't like live with myself knowing that you guys are gonna pay for another year. Like this needs to change. So I put
they
myself.
They didn't say that. You said that.
Yeah, I called that.
That's
and
cool.
There was a lot of like things happening in my personal life as well, where it was kind of like, okay, this is a rocky part of life now. Like this is where the ride starts. And so I remember that. And that summer, I just studied. I went into marketing, and I realized, okay, I love this. This is what I want to be doing. Studied marketing, minored in communication technology and history. And I remember I got a job as a door-to-door salesman that summer because I was like, I want to get as good as possible, being as comfortable in the most uncomfortable situations. I want to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And so I took that job, and it's gotten me so many experiences and stories. I was telling you this yesterday, but I knocked on someone's door.
Yeah, they don't know.
Yeah, I know. I would knock on someone's door, and the person answers the door. I was selling gas and electricity in really, really bad neighborhoods, wearing a suit, so I look like a cop. And I'm knocking on these people's doors, and the guy answers the door, and he has a revolver, and he points it at me. And in my head, I'm like, okay, and I just start pitching him, and 30 minutes later, we're sitting down, I'm drinking some iced tea, I'm looking at his college degree, I'm holding the revolver, we're just chatting, and I'm like, hey, you know, do you want to sign up for the service? He's like, yeah. So I end up getting a sale from that, and there's like so many instances like that where it's like really, really bad situations where I'm walking to a house, and there's just like 6-7 dudes just buff outside, they have guns on their hips, there's pit bulls barking, and I'm like, hey, let's talk about your gas and electricity bill, guys. And it's like,
what? When? Because some other people would be like, "That's it, I'm done, I quit." This dude had a gun. What was it? The drive in you, or was it like the passion of thinking, "Ah, this guy, I kind of can see where he's kind. He's
yeah.
He doesn't want to kill me."
It was for me. It was like I wanted to get the most serious experience I possibly could in sales.
You're willing to die.
Yeah, I'm willing to die. It was for me.
That company needs to hire you. You say you're not a motivational speaker. They need to hire you back. And you'd be getting in their faces when they're like, but it was snowing and right. I couldn't go in the ice and be like, this guy had a gun on me. You got to be willing to die for it.
Yeah. No, literally, I'm like thinking in my head, like, okay, I'm going to walk into a room with guys in suits on and pitch an idea to them for... That's not going to be hard. It's going to be way harder when I'm talking to a guy and he's clearly on something and we're having a conversation. I'm trying to sell him something. So for me, it was a baptism in fire. And that's a strange way of putting it. But I like
it
to
built
think,
your confidence muscle.
Built my confidence. It built my confidence. It made me so, my skin so tough to things where people would not be happy that I was talking to them. But after that summer really changed. That year really changed my life. I really got into just a bunch of different projects. I started a nonprofit. I got really involved with like my entrepreneurial side. So I flipped a house in that time. I joined startups. I went to Silicon Valley. I came back to Columbus and did a startup. And Now I'm a project manager with like a team of people that like look to me for information and to lead them through these situations. And so,
and you're 23.
I'm 23.
Because the talks we were having, you're doing actually my book, The Story of You.
Yeah.
This is cool, dude. Like, this is a shameless post. It reminds me of my why. Like, when we met and you read my book,
amazing,
and then you were like, when I finished it, every time someone writes me something like that, that's worth more to me than all this. Mm. I'm like, that's why. You're like, I read it and I realized I was just kind of stagnant at my job. And since then, I've started two start. I'm like, holy crap. Like, that's one of the coolest. You're like, dude, your book was like the kick in the butt that I needed.
I just like know, like having that conversation.
So buy my book.
That is a shameless plug. But really, I mean, I remember reading your book and being like, wow, like I've spoken to Mark and I didn't know any of this information about Mark. And like I read it and I was like, well, geez, I'm plateauing right now. I'm not really pushing myself as much as I need to be. I took on a bunch of different other projects that I completely optional for me to do it. But simply from that need to like get out of my comfort zone. That's something that really, I'd say like that's my biggest enemy, frankly, is my comfort zone. I absolutely hate my comfort zone.
Well, it's interesting. Like the biggest battle takes place in between our ears.
Well said.
The biggest battle, someone else, actually, I heard that somewhere else. I would like to say that was mine, but it's just like whoever, it's stuck with me.
Mm.
And it's like, you got to work your butt off, but you can outthink yourself of something or psych yourself out, and the more time you like if you start overthinking, what if this way? And it's like if you just get out there and start doing it, and that's how confidence is built. See, like at a young age, people listening, they're like, how do I build my confidence? You just start doing stuff that you're scared to do. And I'm not just talking about going parachuting and stuff. If that's something that helps, go for it. But what I mean is, I used to think the opposite. Like, well, people are just born great salesmen. They're born with confidence. They're born with courage. Yeah, there's different personalities, but everyone that I've met personally, whether it's NFL players and all that, a lot of them are more scared than you and I of so many normal things. The fear has pushed them and drove them, and I've always learned the fear doesn't go away. You do it afraid, and then you start becoming courageous while doing it afraid.
Mm.
And it's like a muscle. Confidence, it builds, and you're able to like look back in your playbook, and you're able to be like, man, I'm facing this. But I remember that sophomore year in college when I went there and the guy had a gun.
Mm.
And if I got through that, I can get through this.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly
like... And then people see it when you're here, when you made it here, and they, like when I was in, I used to think, like people in this neighborhood, I think, well, they must have just been born and got right there.
Yeah.
But like, and it should give people confidence to know, no, anyone can do it. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing to do it?
That's well said. I mean, like, I think for me, it's like the concept of people feel like, oh, like how do you do that? Like it's so unattainable. I think it's not unattainable because like you may want to be a doctor. You may want to be a doctor. That's okay. But are you willing to study? Like, you know what I mean? Like those hours, but then are you willing to retain the information? Like I think like it's one thing to want something, but it's another thing to like put in the time, hours, and commitment to like really understand a process.
Yeah.
And so I mean like I think it's when you talk about like people being like, how do I reach a certain step? It's like you need to knowledge. Like it's 100% knowledge. Read more books. That's like the best piece of advice I can give anyone.
Just plus action. Like knowledge is where it starts. But then when you apply the action to the knowledge is where you get the experience, because there's always the knowledge can take you so far.
Yeah.
It's like you could have read every book on how to be a salesman.
Yeah.
But it might not have had what do you do when there's a guy with a gun.
Yeah.
Then it's like, you know what, but you're right, like start, because that's with me, with reading and stuff, beyond what school had me read for book reports. I never read a full book till I was 18. I thought I was stupid. I love read. Then I realized I love, then that led me to wanting more knowledge. So that was like the beginning, and I still always read.
Mm.
But then you apply the action to it, because I've seen people, especially like in this age of information, you can find a blog on anything. and they want to find the exact answer to, let's say, for instance, we're working on, you do marketing, we've even been working on other, we've got all the amazing commercials for Elevate and Beyond already, like, thank you everyone that's been doing the sponsors, whether it's the insurance, the insurance companies, Charlie's just had on here, which was cool. Planet Fitness, but you've been, we're also going out and reaching because of the way we're doing the video and stuff, and we're getting people lined up. They're going to have their stuff like here on camera that we're working at like real personal relationships with. Mm. But you, there wasn't just, you knew the podcast, you knew the growth, you knew where this was going, but it's, you had to go into this uncharted territory.
Yeah.
You couldn't just read a book on.
Exactly. You're totally right. And we've spoken about in depth about this, but like when we first started talking about like, oh yeah, like I'd love to get involved with this. And in my mind, I thought, oh yeah, like reaching out to these companies or firms or groups to sponsor, simple, easy, I can do it, no problem. I'll just send an email, I'll send 10 emails, I'll get 11 back, it'll be simple.
I've got my degree in marketing.
Yeah, I got it, not worried, I'm not worried. No, that's not how it was at all. And the thing is like...
And he didn't tell...
This is Julie.
Hey, calendar. What's my morning like?
Julie's about to have a long day.
At 9 a.m., soccer carpool. 9:10, purchase birthday card. 9:05, dry cleaning.
Did you just go backwards?
I'm sorry. I can't fit that question into your schedule. 9:15, cry for a little bit.
For days that won't end, let Schwann's help. With Schwann's, you can get delicious meals that go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. Visit today at Schwann's.com. After a long day of being pulled in every direction, the last thing anyone wants to think about is, what's for dinner? That's where Schwann's can help, with a variety of real food choices, frozen to lock in freshness, from ready-made meals, premium meats and side dishes, to vegetables, ice cream, and more. Schwann's foods go from freezer to table in minutes, not hours, so you can pull off a delicious meal in no time at all. Ordered, delivered, done. That's homemade easy. To help simplify mealtime, visit Schwann's.com.